The Giants do it again on Friday, beating the Chicago Cubs. Early day game on Friday, pretty unusual, but pretty common in Chicago. But Giants come out, Brandon Belt names himself the captain of the team in a kind of hilarious joke, wears some tape on his jersey on the field with the block letter C for captain. So a funny day for the Giants and another win in a bullpen game. So we'll break it all down on today's Locked On Giants podcast.
Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join me on Sunday toward the end of the game to get in on the action. So coming up on today's show, as I said, we're going to talk about today's win by the San Francisco Giants over the Chicago Cubs. Early game, and the Giants took care of business and put a win on the board ahead of their competitors. So the Dodgers are playing tonight against the Padres. And at the time of this recording, that game has not started, but with the win, the Giants were able to pull to three games ahead of the Los Angeles Dodgers in the standings. The Dodgers have lost a couple games in a row, and the Giants have won five straight. As I mentioned, Brandon Belt was kind of the story of this game today against the Cubs. A little bit of a hilarious thing going on here with this captain stuff. Belt with some hilarious quotes talking about how he's the alpha of the team. Somebody had to step up and be that alpha, and he's the guy to do it. It's all a big joke. Brandon Belt is under the radar, pretty hilarious. And so it's great to see them having fun. He literally wore this block letter C made out of electrical tape on his jersey out onto the field during this game today. Apparently, Evan Longoria put it there and did not think he was actually going to wear it into the game, but he did. And then Brandon Belt ended up having a huge game. He went 2-for-3 with two walks and a double and a home run. His double, he ended up scoring the tying run in the sixth inning. The Giants at that time were trailing 1-0. And then his two-run homer capped a four-run seventh inning. Giants just basically handily beat the Cubs when all was said and done. Cubs only had two hits in this game, and those hits were given up by Harleen Garcia, who gave up a solo home run, and Camilo Doval gave up a hit. And otherwise, in a bullpen game, Giants, of course, covered nine innings. They did issue four walks, but struck out nine and only allowed one run. And so it's funny because there's been a lot of conversation about bullpen games and whether or not it's a good thing. But for me, at the end of the day, it's about wins and losses. And so far, the Giants have had some success going with these bullpen games. And as I have mentioned before, it's hard to argue against the results. And when you look at the Giants bullpen as a whole and you look at, okay, they're, you know, allowing about a 3-point something, you know, low threes ERA on the season. If you get that out of an entire game, that's a great game. And so, you know, the Giants held the Cubs to one run today by their bullpen. And that's great work. I don't care if it's a starter or a reliever. At the end of the day, the name of the game is just to pick up a win that day. And the Giants were able to do that again, and they improved to 91-50. Just a great record. I mean, 91 wins. They're almost, you know, their 94 wins was what they had the last time they won the division in 2012. So they would just have to go, 3-18 in order to match that. So they're well on their way to 100 wins. They could go below 500 the rest of the way and still win 100. There's 21 games remaining. Nine wins would get them to 100 wins. So with the Dodgers losing two in a row, it's crazy that that's all it's taken. These two teams have been so good. this season that like a two-game losing streak is kind of just a devastating development. I mean, maybe not devastating, but close to it. And it's not been uncommon for the Giants or for the Dodgers to be winners of 5 in a row or 9 out of 10. And so with the Giants kind of streaking here, any little slip up by the Dodgers, like tonight, there's a lot of pressure on the Dodgers. If they lose, they're 3.5 games back. And for them, they only will have 20 games remaining after tonight. So 3.5 back with 20 left is kind of a difficult hill to climb. And that's why I think I said on Twitter after the Dodgers lost their second game to the Cardinals in a 4-game series, they ended up splitting. For me, it was the first time all season that I really truly considered the Giants to be the favorites in the National League West. And so, you know, with very little time remaining, if that goes to 3.5, then for me, it's obviously even more of a significant advantage. And even if the Dodgers win, the Giants would still be 2.5 up with about 20 games remaining. Giants would have 21, Dodgers would have 20. But the fact is, the Reds are also significant to the Giants right now. Giants, with this win today against the Cubs, reduce their magic number to clinch a postseason berth to 5. And so if the Reds lose today, that magic number would go down to 4, which means the Giants could theoretically clinch a postseason berth as soon as Sunday if the Reds lose 3 in a row, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and if the Giants win the next 2. So that may not happen, but at this point, with that magic number being 5, it is essentially a done deal. The Giants are going to the playoffs, and that is a huge deal. I know a lot of people have considered it inevitable for months, but for me, I never personally took it for granted that they would go to the playoffs. Let's just remember what expectations were for this team coming into the season. People did not expect this team to be any good at all. Our bold prediction was 86-76, and I thought I was as high on this team as anybody, and they just blew past 86 wins. They're at 91 with 21 games remaining. It has a chance to just go down as one of the best seasons in franchise history, and that's just incredible. So let's take each and every day for me as like a moment to appreciate what it is that this team is doing. So coming up next, we'll talk more about the specifics of the game. I want to talk about who pitched, what the pitching outlook is for the rest of this series, and I want to talk about some of the quotes from Brandon Belt and others about this captain thing, which I think is just pretty hilarious and great to see them having fun at this stage of the season. But before we get into that, slow is just right if you're on vacation, a sloth, or describing QuickBooks. More like slow books. It sucks you in and slows you down with manual processes, integration difficulties, and glitchy delays that leave you scrambling for the numbers you need. Now is the time to make the switch to NetSuite by Oracle, the number one financial system, because NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, e-commerce, and more. It's everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time, no matter how big your business grows. Failing to switch to NetSuite will leave you stuck trying to make sense of your books while your competitors sprint ahead. 93% of surveyed businesses increased their visibility and control since switching to NetSuite. And right now, special financing is back. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program only for those ready to switch today. Head to netsuite.com/lockedon right now. Get special financing at netsuite.com/lockedon. netsuite.com/lockedon. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There's really something for everyone. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors, you're missing out. Coconut, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. My favorite flavor, it's really hard to pick for me. I'm going to have to go with salted caramel. I just love that combination. And Built Bar manages to put them together in a package that tastes like a candy bar, but comes in with a healthy profile. 17 to 18 grams of protein and only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, only 130 to 180 calories. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, as promised, we're going to talk more about the specifics of this game. We'll talk about where the Giants are from a pitching standpoint because of this bullpen game thing, which is happening right now because Alex Wood is on the COVID IL and Johnny Cueto is on the other IL, the normal IL, with an elbow injury. And so we haven't really discussed this, but to me, this might be, we might have seen the last time Johnny Cueto pitches in a Giants uniform, and it would have been kind of unceremonious. I can't even remember his last start. I think he had been sick the start prior. Can't remember who he even pitched again. Was it the Brewers? Was it the Dodgers? But the point is, he went out there, his elbow is bothering him, and he may not pitch again for the Giants. But Alex Wood, I haven't heard any updates about him since he initially went on the COVID IL, but presumably he is doing, you know, better and recovering and should be able to come off the IL at some point, but he may require some kind of rehab process to get back to the Giants. But in the meantime, they're going with these bullpen games, and I just think they've been largely successful. And I also don't think when it quote-unquote doesn't work, that you can necessarily blame it on the fact that it was a bullpen game as much as you can just say a pitcher or two didn't perform at their best. Because as we all know, starting pitchers at times go out there and don't perform at their best themselves. And I would much rather have the Giants bullpen, which has been a really good unit this season, out there than, you know, some below average starting pitcher. So I just don't see it as an issue. I don't know if you do, but I know some people think it's a big disadvantage. The one thing is it can tire out your bullpen when you need them, when there's a regular starting pitcher on the mound. But that didn't happen because Kevin Gausman and Logan Webb were able to give them length in Colorado. And then the other fact is that they're rolling with a 12-man bullpen right now. So they've got a lot of arms down there. And today they used, obviously, a lot of them. I think they used 8 or 9 different pitchers as I looked through. Looks like they used 8 different pitchers today. Some of them for short outings, like Zach Littell only went 2/3 of an inning. Camilo Duvall went 1/3 of an inning, so he should be fine to go tomorrow. And there's plenty of guys who didn't pitch, like Jake McGee didn't pitch. I can't even remember the last time he did, although I could pull it up and look. There's charts we can look at to see the pitch usages by these players, like when's the last time they pitched and how many pitches did they throw? And so I've been looking at that each and every day, and it gives us a good indication of, you know, what their pitching plan is going to be able to be for that given game. And so I just think that it hasn't yet put them in a bad position. Excuse me. And they are going to continue to be in a pretty good position, although at some point we've heard Scott Kazmir may be called up and make a start, but from what we have been told, it's going to be Kevin Gausman on Saturday, which is great news for the Giants, and then on Sunday, it will be Logan Webb. So that, again, puts the Giants in good position to win the next 2 games, and then presumably they would have bullpen games after that. But let's get into a little bit of the specifics of the offensive outburst. And then, of course, we're also going to talk about this captain thing with Brandon Belt that for me kind of came out of nowhere. I've always known Brandon Belt is a funny guy, but just, I mean, I was watching this game today and I just looked up and he had this taped on C on his chest and I had no idea what the backstory was, but we got the backstory. And so we're going to read you some of those quotes later on. Evan Longoria had a big game today. He hit the home run that kind of gave the Giants their first lead of the game in the 7th inning. The starting pitcher for the Cubs, Kyle Hendricks, was really good today, and he has that ability to be really good and to keep hitters off balance. He doesn't overpower you, but he's a command specialist, and he had the Giants off balance. He's tough to pick up, and when he's hitting his spots, he can be really difficult, and that's what was happening. But the Brandon Belt double got things going in the 6th, and he ended up scoring. It was a leadoff double, and they ended up being able to drive him in. And they, you know, somewhat got Kyle Hendricks' pitch count up to the point where, you know, he threw 104 pitches through six innings. And so the Giants were able to get Cubs relievers starting in the seventh, and they really put a hurting on the Cubs bullpen. McGill and Rucker combined to throw two innings and allowed five runs. So that's the thing, too, about this Giants team is that sometimes a starting pitcher might seem to be doing really well against them, but then as soon as another pitcher comes in, you immediately see a flip, a switch flipped, and they have much better at-bats. It's just, it's like a matter of time with this team. It's really hard to hold them down for an entire game, and if you have to go to some other pitchers who aren't, you know, elite and who aren't on, the Giants can get on base often via the walk because they're working counts and they're not chasing, and then they're liable to run into a home run because they hit a ton of them. And today was no different. The Giants added a couple more home runs. Like I said, the one by Evan Longoria, and then later in that inning, the one by Brandon Belt, both two-run shots. So it was a really good day for the offense in that respect. Although, like I said, at first they were really shut down by Kyle Hendricks. So eventually they broke out, but it didn't, you know, always go that way. There was also a really great defensive play by Brandon Crawford in this game. I think it was 5-1 at the time. It was either, I think it was with Tyler Rogers on the mound in the bottom of the seventh. He issued a leadoff walk, which is quite rare for him. And then there was a 108-mile-an-hour shot up the middle, and it easily could have gone into center field for a hit, would have been two on, nobody out. But Crawford just gloved it, reaching far to his left, and then he made like a shovel flip to Tommy La Stella, who barehanded it, and then made a quick turn to Brandon Belt at first base, and it was a 6-4-3 double play when all was said and done. Easily could have been a hit. 108 miles an hour is very hard hit. Anything north of 95 is considered hard hit, but 108 is quite up there. A lot of guys kind of top out in that range. So just a great day all around. It could have been a disappointing loss. It looked like they might get shut down by Kyle Hendricks and the Cubs, but they eventually broke out. So coming up next, we're going to get finally to these quotes by Brandon Belt, Gabe Kapler, Evan Longoria about this captain joke. I think it is funny to talk about. And we'll check in on the Dodgers and the Reds, and then we'll talk about expectations for the weekend. So all of that is coming up next, but first, it's that time of year again, and all eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this year. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL Mega Contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor Contest open now at BetOnline. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, and baseball too, don't forget about that. Don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts, promo code is LOCKEDON. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friends log in for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part is that there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. All right, as promised, we're going to get finally to these quotes that I've been teasing the whole time. I also want to check in with the Dodgers and the Reds. And, you know, those are significant games because of the Giants' magic number situation. And then talk about my expectations for the weekend here. But I also want to mention the YouTube thing. I mean to mention this at the start of every show, but sometimes forget. These shows are now on YouTube. So if you're watching on YouTube, awesome. Hello. And if you're listening anywhere else, just check us out on YouTube sometime. I also want to address that there's skipping issues at times, and we're trying to work those out. That should be resolved if you're not watching on YouTube, but if you're watching on YouTube and there's skipping issues, I apologize, and we are working on fixing that as soon as possible. So anyway, jumping into the Brandon Belt situation, he is just under the radar funny, and the quotes that he had after the game, to me, were just hilarious. He said, quote, "Really, it just started on the plane the other day. I just felt like, in my heart, I've been the captain all year, and so I just told everybody to let me get off the plane first since I was the team captain." And they did. It's like, when people know that you're the guy, they don't say anything. They just do it. The quote that he had after the game when he was interviewed on television, he just said that somebody had to step up, and he's the alpha of the team, so it had to be him who stepped up, and he did. And it's all a big joke. Reading the article on sfgiants.com, it's almost like they took him seriously, but I'm pretty sure they didn't, because it's clearly a joke. But Chris Bryant said, literally, Brandon Belt's locker is the first one in the hallway, so I saw that right when I walked in, the C tape on the logo. He said, quote, "I thought for sure he would take it off for the game because it's just some electrical tape." And then Longoria said, "I put the C on his jersey today, not thinking he was going to go out and play with it." Belt said, "When I walked in and saw it, it was pretty funny. I was not going to wear it, but everybody thought that I should. So being the leader that I am, I stepped up and I did it." And Gabe Kapler added, "I think he could have done a better job with the tape," talking about Longoria, I suppose. It was sort of bootleg, but that's the only knock I have on it. Other than that, I thought it was a really fun, timely gesture. It was really good, really well played. Belt, let's see. No, never mind. I was going to read another quote, but that wasn't a quote at all. So Gabe Kapler continued and said, "I think it's important to smile and laugh and be playful, right? This group takes each game very seriously. You can be playful and be intense. You can be playful and be a grinder. That is really who Belt is." So I just thought that that was fun. It kind of shows the personality of Brandon Belt. I have never really understood the criticism of Brandon Belt that I know some fans have had. And I think a lot of it has often centered around his personality. People don't like the attitude that he has, like when he strikes out. But I'm just going to take a moment to explain something about Brandon Belt's approach and how it was not really embraced by the old coaching staff, and how he has talked about how this new coaching staff and front office really values his approach, and that makes him feel more comfortable. So I'm going to just talk about what his approach is, because I think people don't totally understand this. Like, even on TV, when we're listening to the broadcasts, they talk about how you have to protect that pitch with two strikes, right? Everybody knows what this means. It means when you have two strikes and there's a borderline pitch, they're saying you're supposed to swing at it because you don't want to, you know, rely on the umpire to call it a ball because it's too close to take, right? This is a common thing that gets talked about in baseball. But Brandon Belt's approach has always been, basically, he knows his hot zone and he doesn't intend to swing unless a pitch is in his hot zone, even if it's a strike, even with two strikes. And some of you listening may not agree with that, but you should know that this coaching staff and this front office agrees that that is the ideal philosophy at the plate. And so gone are the days when you should be expected to protect the zone with two strikes. And Brandon Belt never has, and that's something that has driven people crazy, is like he takes close pitches for strikes and for called third strikes sometimes. But it's by design. If you know you can't do anything with that pitch, the idea is that it's better to just take it. And, you know, of course, you're not going to be perfect in deciphering whether it's a ball or a strike, So there's a chance that it ends up a ball. These major league pitchers are so good. Oftentimes a pitch might look like it's on the corner and then it breaks significantly out of the zone. And so if you have the mindset that you're protecting anything close, I believe, and they believe, and I think it's true, that if you have that mindset, you're going to protect anything close, you're going to chase a lot more. Because if there's a pitch that looks like it's on the edge and then it breaks out, you're deciding to swing based on where it looks like it's going, breaks out of the zone, and then you've chased. And so that's how a guy like Brandon Belt is able to be successful and not chase a lot. And I think at the end of the day, it's a better philosophy than the one that has you protecting anything close. And this, the guys who are trying to protect anything close are the guys who are just hacking at pitches way out of the strike zone. So it's hard to be like a perfect player in the sense that you don't chase, but you also don't like strike out or take called third strikes from time to time. So is Brandon Belt a perfect player? No, although jokingly he would say that he is, and I think it's hilarious. I know I've said that 1,000 times, that I think he's hilarious, but that's the team philosophy now. And if you notice, a lot of players have more at-bats like Brandon Belt. They swing out of their shoes when it's in their zone, and if it's not there, they're trying to just not take it, even if it's a strike. So we need to drop, at least know that they're not encouraged to swing at borderline pitches. They're only encouraged to swing if it's in the heart of the plate. We have to remember, pitchers, we give them too much credit for command. They don't throw it where they want to throw it. So, you know, if you're, they're going to give you some cookies and they're going to miss also. And so if you just take the misses that are, you know, not in the heart of the plate and you just swing in your hot zone, that's a recipe for success. And the Giants have had a ton of success this year, and they owe a lot of it to this approach. They're either first or second in Major League Baseball in home runs, definitely first in the National League. AL teams get a DH. Giants don't have that, so it's not a fair comparison, and yet they've been first for much of the year. So it's an approach that works, and it's an approach that has worked for Brandon Belt. As I say this, we need to wrap up, and I didn't get a chance to check in on the Dodgers and Reds, so I will do that really quickly. The Dodgers are still not playing. The Reds have a 2-0 lead over the Cardinals. So you'll, you know, watch those games. And over the weekend, the Giants have a chance to clinch. I would say it's unlikely. They have to win all their games. The Reds have to lose all of their games to clinch a postseason berth. But we will be back on Monday talking about three things we learned this weekend with the Giants, talking Dodgers, talking Reds, talking magic numbers. So I can't wait to be with you then. Thank you so much for listening. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. It helps me out so much. So thank you wholeheartedly in advance, and thank you to everyone who's done so already. I really do read them all. So anyway, I can't wait to be with you again on Monday. Have a great weekend. Go Giants, and you are now Locked On Giants.